Hello, everybody. Welcome to the very first episode of Putting It Out There. I am your host, George Rodriguez. I want to talk about the Miami Dolphins and their current situation today. There's been reports out there that the Miami Dolphins are going after a quarterback. And I must say, there's only two selective options out there for that. But we'll get into that in a little bit. The time right now, I'd like to go ahead and start talking about the current situation. And what I mean by the current situation is, I mean, obviously, our new head coach Flores from the New England Patriots. Ex-linebackers coach, current defensive coordinator. This hire actually intrigues me. And intrigues me for several reasons. One, he's a Patriot. Us as Dolphins fans absolutely despise everything and anything New England. If Flores could come in and he can do the job the way we're expecting him to do, I mean, let's be honest, he can't be any worse than Adam Gase. I don't think he's going to be the kind of head coach that's going to come in here and chip Kelly the Miami Dolphins and dissect them, because let's be honest, Adam Gase did that pretty well by himself. I do see him fixing our defense for one, which is why later on we're going to talk about possible draft picks and what they're going to spend them on. I do think that Flores is a really good hire. He's something that Miami's been lacking for a very, very, very long time, and that is leadership. He's going to command respect. He's going to command the locker room, and he's going to challenge each and every player that's in the Dolphins organization, which is something Adam Gase tried to do but epically failed because of the fact that he went about it the wrong way. And it's been proven that he lost the locker room because Adam Schefter reported it, Ian Rappaport reported it. He lost the locker room. And I don't think it was that he lost the locker room week 11, like everybody seems to think. I think he lost the locker room back in week 4 when they went up against New England with his bad play calling and sticking with Ryan Tannehill, even though he was struggling. He let some good pieces leave because he couldn't get along with them, and they moved on to bigger and better things. I mean, it's pretty sad when Cleveland had a pretty much better record than Miami did, and Jarvis Landry still continued to shine, and he did it with a rookie quarterback. So it just goes to prove where the inexperience was. But like I said, with Flores, two things scare me. One, the fact that he's from New England, and we all know how the New England head coaches, Romeo Cannell, Charlie Weiss, them kind of guys, they didn't pan out, and they never do. And you know, over time, they basically try to be like Bill Parcells or Bill Belichick, those kind of guys, and they're not. They're not, and that's the difference between them guys and Flores. I think Flores is going to come in. He's going to have his own mindset, his own build on what he wants to do with the franchise, and he's going to have Chris Greer in his pocket. He's already hired an offensive coordinator. And he's hired assistant head coach Jim Caldwell, who is going back to his roots as a quarterback's coach, which Peyton Manning had no complaints. And Peyton Manning is a surefire Hall of Famer. And you could say Caldwell had a lot to do with that, or you cannot. However way you want to choose to go with that one. I believe that was a really good hire. One, for two reasons. The first one is because it comes with head coaching experience. And I live up here in Detroit, and I have a buddy who's a Lions fan, and he wasn't happy with Caldwell neither. But at the end of the day, he did give him a couple 9-6 seasons, and they performed. And he pushes people to the limit, even though they had certain pieces that needed to be upgraded, he still managed to make it work. And in my opinion, Caldwell was a great hire for the Dolphins. And I didn't bring him in there to coach up Ryan Tannehill. I feel bad for the people that are supporting Ryan Tannehill right now. I really do, because I do not believe Ryan Tannehill will be back at Miami. This hire was strictly to bring in for younger talent, possible bridge quarterback, and whether it's Joe Flacco or Teddy Bridgewater or even somehow make a trade for Nick Foles, it's going to be for that kind of quarterback, but it's more set up for the long haul and the quarterback that we draft. And the second thing that about Flores that a lot of people, including myself, I'm scared of is the fact that he's a first-time head coach. And just last year, he was a linebackers coach. And then Matt Patricia gets hired by Detroit, and now he took his place as defensive coordinator. But the positive side of that is we're all guilty of this because we all root for New England to lose. That's just the way it is as Dolphins fans. We fucking hate them. Plain and simple. But he did have the play calling abilities. And he is the guy that sets up the scheme for it. He is the guy that was on the sideline doing play calling. Now, how much do we know, was Bill Belichick contradicting him through the headset? We don't know. But as of right now, with him having the title defensive coordinator, he actually makes the Dolphins predictable for the future as far as what he wants to do with them. Because to be honest with you guys, the defense that's out there for New England is not the best defense that Tom Brady has ever played with. They're not that talented, in my opinion. And they're mixed between age groups of 30s and mid 20s, and Flores is getting the best out of them. He's pushing these guys. They're hungry. Of course they're hungry because they're the Patriots. But he's going to come in and he's going to evaluate the entire roster. And for those of you who out there in your heart and soul believe Ryan Tannehill will be back in Miami, don't keep your fingers crossed too long because it's not going to happen. Although there is the possibility that he could say, hey, there's no sense of getting a bridge quarterback when we have a guy that, has been here. But I think they're going to ask for a pay cut. And if you're Ryan Tannehill, are you going to actually take a pay cut knowing that you're possibly going to be a 1 or 2 year fix? And then after that, you're going to be without a job? My answer to that is probably not. I would say more or less he asked for a trade or asked for a release. And releasing him is probably the dumbest thing we could do because a team like Jacksonville will command a quarterback. And that's if they don't land a quarterback. Like they could make a same trade to Philadelphia for Nick Foles. They can move up and trade for a quarterback in the draft. They could do a lot. They're sitting pretty nice. The Giants are the same situation. But is there going to be somebody that's willing to work with Ryan Tannehill? Let's be honest, he's been in the league 7 years. 7 years. And he has not made the Pro Bowl. He's one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the NFL, but that's not going to play a role with me on my podcast. The only reason why I say that is because Jamarcus Russell and all them guys, when they came in with high expectations and they failed no matter how strong of an arm they had, no matter the knowledge of the game they had. It takes a certain mentality to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And Ryan Tannehill does not have that. He's got the smarts and he's got the arm, but his pocket presence for 7 years he couldn't fix. Like that's a big issue in the NFL. You got to know your surroundings. You got to. And the Houston Texans quarterback, I mean, let's be honest, he was the most sacked quarterback in the NFL and they still pushed to the playoffs. Like that's no excuse. You got to know your pocket presence. You got to know how to escape. And he didn't do that. So there's a lot going on with that, and I do think Stephen Ross is going to be that guy that says, hey, nope, no more. Get what you can for him and get him the hell out of here. There is quarterbacks available in the option, but the only two that I would consider first round talents, and some of you guys would say Murray, but I don't really know, just because of the fact that he does got a good arm. He's got accuracy, but he's 5'10", 220. Like, or sorry, 5'10", was 190 pounds. So he's like another Pat White. And if you guys remember Pat White, he had an early exit out of the NFL thanks to James Harrison with a hard hit on the sideline. But there is only two quarterbacks, and I really like Drew Lock and Dwayne Haskins. Those are only two quarterbacks, in my opinion, worth drafting in the high 16s, all the way up to pick 16. That's it. Outside of that, I'm not so sure. And I believe that if he wants a quarterback, he'll get one. And Greer is not afraid to pull the trigger on what he thinks is talented. And he proved that by picking Minkah Fitzpatrick. And some of them will say that that was Adam Gase. Some will say that it was Mike Tannenbaum. Some will say that it was Chris Greer. Nobody knows. But we will know very soon on how this draft process is going to work. So if I was Miami and I'm sitting at 13 and a quarterback, like, let's just say, for instance, Dwayne Haskins falls to Miami at 13. Highly unlikely, but let's just say. You're not going to pass on him because you know that that's a talent that was at the top five originally. Same situation happened with Laremy Tunsil in 2016 when he fell down to us and he was projected to be the number one overall pick. And that kind of worked out for us. It really has. And, you know, then we ended up going Raquan McMillan and then Jerome Baker. So we have some pieces to the pie right now that we can move forward with. With the defensive mind of head coach coming in, it's actually going to help excel this defense, hopefully to a championship defense, because I'm tired of being the little brother to the New England Patriots year in and year out. It's just not cool anymore. And it's time, like Stephen Ross said, to take a step back, observe everything, see what's going on, unload some of those contracts. They don't even make sense. And get rid of some of your pieces that can get you draft capital. And that's what we need. We need draft capital. We need guys that can come in and guys that are young and can be there for a long time, because every smart team knows if you get a franchise quarterback in the draft and he plays well, you can lock him up for 4 years. That's 3 years automatic that you can get to build around him. And one of those things would be DeVante Parker. I know DeVante Parker hasn't proven to anybody that he deserves to be called a number one top-notch wide receiver. And I'm not a big supporter of his, but I will say this. Tannehill didn't look for a lot of his offensive weapons. I mean, he barely found Mike Gesicki. They were throwing it to a guy that they picked off the Jets practice squad, or sorry, the Buffalo Bills. And I mean, when is it gonna stop? When is it gonna stop? When do we get a quarterback that can spread the ball around? Because that's the quarterbacks that's going to the Super Bowl is quarterbacks that spread the ball around, have good pocket presence, and can have precision passing above all belief. And we don't have that. We don't have no leadership on offense. Kenny Stills, you could argue and say that he could be. And you could say Albert Wilson. And Albert Wilson is a guy that I think is going to come back stronger than ever. And with the right quarterback under center, we can possibly do that, which I'm hoping that the bridge quarterback would be Teddy Bridgewater. Because if Teddy Bridgewater comes back and we could somehow pry him away from New Orleans without New Orleans trying to extend him or whatever, then we could have him for a 2 year prove it deal and shake and bake with it. You know, if he pans out, cool. At second year he's not, get your quarterback that you drafted ready. Or you could just say, forget the quarterback position this year, wait to 2020, go in there with Teddy Bridgewater and Luke Falk, because David Fales is not very good, and it's been proven that he's not very good. So if I'm the Miami Dolphins, I sign Teddy Bridgewater or trade for him, whichever comes first. And if that's the route that they want to go, I'm not going to be upset with that because let's be honest, we didn't get a chance to see what Luke Falk can do. I know Adam Gase was high on him in last year's draft, and somehow, some way, Tennessee released him. We picked him up, and I know there was a lot of chatter about they just wanted to know what Tennessee's plays were and all that. That's a crock of shit. We all know it. Luke Falk was, they were high on Luke Falk in the draft, but he got picked. So we ended up passing. And now we got a chance to see what he can do. And in my opinion, if we're going to have a quarterback battle, make it worth something. If you got David Fales and you got Teddy Bridgewater, you got Luke Falk sitting there, you know you're going to get rid of Tannehill and maybe possibly pick up a couple of undrafted quarterbacks who might surprise you. You don't know. It's just the way the NFL works. And Cameron Wake is a prime example of that. Undrafted free agent came in, now he's a surefire Hall of Famer. So it all depends what you do with your opportunity and how you can approach your future with your NFL career. And that's where I think that we have a lot of room to grow because I think with having a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator, I think all that's going to play into effect. It's a whole new outlook of the Dolphins, and it's a lot more leadership. What I do like is the fact that Chris Greer went out, he got himself an assistant general manager who has scouting background. Chris Greer has scouting background. Then you got Flores, who's got scouting background. His offensive coordinator is scouting background. So it's all in the works. So everybody's going to consistently be on the same page. If you're going to go out and going to draft a quarterback, you're going to have six or seven guys evaluating this guy that have scouting backgrounds, which is something that we haven't had in who knows how long. So this could be the difference of the year coming up. And if that's the way that Miami plans to go forward, I'm not even mad about that. I could actually appreciate the fact that Chris Greer is trying to show Stephen Ross, hey, we can do this. We didn't need Mike Tannenbaum or Adam Gase. Let me pick my guy. And he did. And it shocked the world that he came from New England. But the guy has an attitude. And when I mean that guy, I mean Flores. He has the attitude of, don't piss me off, do your job, and let's get it right. I love that. I believe that's how football should be. You need that strong hand in there to say, hey, when you made a mistake, you made a mistake. And fess up to it. Don't blame all your problems on your players as a head coach. And he takes accountability because the Miami Miracle, we know, listen to other people's podcast and listening to his interviews that he recognized that he made a mistake by putting Gronkowski out there and he fessed up to it. That's something Adam Gase has never done. He's always wanted to put the blame on somebody else instead of himself. And he stuck with, God, Dow Loggins way too long, Matt Burke way too long. And he was an embarrassment. I mean, we had a coach sitting there doing cocaine on his damn desk. Like, that was embarrassing as an organization. And if I'm Stephen Ross, I would have fired the whole damn coaching staff right then and there. But Stephen Ross is a patient man, so he let it slide. I wouldn't have been so forgiving, but it is what it is. Here we are. 2019 season's over. We're getting ready to get the ball rolling in the draft and free agency. I don't think that the Miami Dolphins will take an offensive lineman in the first two rounds. It would have to be somebody that's really going to blow them away to do that at 13. I can't see it. I think that they build through young players, through the draft, and through free agency. But I think a lot of your starters are going to come from the free agency side of the ball. I don't think that for one second you're going to see Miami, unless they decide to trade down to get an extra first round pick next year and decide to say, hey, this is the best offensive lineman available. Let's take him. if something like that was to happen, I could see it. But if they're staying put at 13, I'm gonna say it's gonna be a skilled player. I would like to see if Drew Lock or Dwayne Haskins is off the board, I would like to see either Miami trade down, get an extra first round pick for 2020, or take Montez Sweat from Mississippi. I really like him. I think he's gonna be a beast, and you package him up with Charles Harris, who's actually gonna shine this upcoming season. You mark my words, he will. Because let's be honest, Adam Gase never used him. Adam Gase kept him in there and used Cameron Wake because he wanted to win now. And that's what happened with players like Kenyon Drake. They got outshined by older players because Adam Gase's approach was, I got to save my job, so I want older veterans out there. Even though we all know Kenyon Drake saved our ass on that Miami Miracle play. And otherwise, the Patriots would have swept us. Let's keep it 100%. And that's exactly it. The guy doesn't run a 4-3. You keep him on the sideline. He's your best playmaker on offense, and you needed him out there, and you don't do it because you're a dumbass coach. That's why. And I think Flores is going to be that difference maker. He's going to put players that he thinks needs to be out there. And it's kind of the Bill Belichick way, but not so much. I think that he's got his own little idea of how he wants to run the team, and he's going to be good. I don't think that there's a issue with him backing out on us, like McDaniels did to Indianapolis. That's just embarrassing. But I don't think he's that kind of guy. He's got too much of a connection with Chris Greer, so I think we'll be fine with him. And I mean, the future of the Dolphins is starting to look bright, guys. It really is. And it's going to take a couple years. And some of us are younger that we could wait. Some of us are older or pissed. But that's just the way the cookie's crumbling right now. We just got to deal with it. You know, as Miami Dolphins fans, it's hard to watch. But the Lions fans, they were the same way. I mean, they went in 0-16 and they lived dreadful. And they went out and competed, and now they got themselves a hell of a coach, and I think we're going to have a hell of a coach, and the tide's turning. And I think with our first two round picks, we need to take either a quarterback or Montez Sweat or trade down. And in the second round, if the quarterback from Duke is there, take him. If Will Greer is there, take him. And we got to start having quarterback competitions. That's the only way that we're going to find a franchise quarterback. We can't sit back and hope and pray that the quarterback that we draft is good enough. Good enough is the old Miami Dolphins. We need 100% quarterback that's going to come in and he's going to just outshine everybody like Carson Wentz did and then Jared Goff. And that's the kind of quarterbacks we need. We don't need some bullshit player to come in and play. So if the quarterback you want is not there, and you just got Bridgewater, just stay with Luke Falk. Let's just be honest. Stay with Luke Falk and Teddy Bridgewater. Let them be your quarterbacks going in there. Come 2020, you know, you could do whatever the hell it is that you got to do to move up to get your quarterback. And I say stick with that plan that works. And if it doesn't work, you always got the draft next year. But we know it's going to be a rebuilding process. We know it's going to take time. So I would say stick with that. And a lot of these guys that are coming in the draft, some of them are overhyped too. So until we're actually in the war room and we know what they're looking at and what they're studying and how many people are around it, all we can do is just hope. It's easy for us fans to turn around and say, oh, nah, dude, Dwayne Haskins is the pick. But if they find something wrong with them, like, from what I seen when I watched tape, and I'm not a professional, but if I was a scout and I was looking at him and I seen him, I seen how when the pocket collapsed, he kind of like wasn't the same accurate thrower. He was a little bit frigid in the pocket and he was off balance and he just looked like shit, if I'm being honest. And same thing with Drew Lock. I mean, these guys are going to be young quarterbacks. They're going to come in and it's the coach's job to coach him up. And that's why they bring Caldwell. Caldwell's going to come in, and he's going to be somebody as a side mentor for Flores, somebody that if he has a question, being that Caldwell had head coaching experience and he's a quarterback's coach, he's bringing him in there obviously for a reason so that he can coach up a young person. It's damn sure not going to be Tannehill. And I know it's going to piss a lot of you people off, but it's the fact. The fact remains is that he is not a franchise quarterback. And I'm sorry, but he's not. So moving forward, I think that the Dolphins need to stick to their board, trust the process, and move forward. We don't know who the rest of the coach is, but I will say this. I was listening to Mike Olivia's podcast, and I do like Mike Olivia. He's very smart. He's got a lot of good guests on his show with a lot of good deep insight on the Miami Dolphins. And Mike Olivia makes a lot of sense. And one of the things he said to us on the podcast that he posted last night was that there's a strong possibility that Darren Rizzi could stay with Miami. And Darren Rizzi's been with Miami for 10 years. And through all the firings of coaches and stuff, he managed to stay there. But at the same time, you know, with being passed over on the job, is he going to be vindictive? Is he going to leave? Or does he just want to stay in Miami and say, hey, you know what? I'm not a head coach. It's okay. I like my job. I like my house. I like being in Florida. Let me just stay here and be a special teams coordinator. One day I'll get my shot again. You know, who knows? We don't know. We don't know what's going on in the office. They're pretty quiet right now because of the stupid Super Bowl and the Patriots being in it. And that's the reason why I said stupid, because I'm sick of seeing them bastards there. I would like to get a few guests on this podcast. It's called Putting It Out There. And I am a moderator in this group. And I would like to get a few of my moderator buddies in there and do a podcast with them maybe a couple times a week. And maybe get some special guests along the way, such as some of you members, and move forward with it. Sorry I'm recording this. I am recording this at 6:07 in the morning, and I'm in Michigan. So I'm a little tired, but it's all good. And just be on the lookout. Possibly Sunday I will drop another podcast. And I'll have this one posted and pinned at the top of the group page. You can see that. It'll be under announcements. And hopefully you guys can enjoy the time and have a good one. It's been real. Peace.